Yep.
8:45 on the clock. Let's call to order the regular meeting of the Gage County Board of Supervisors, Wednesday, April 2nd, 2014. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Open meeting access posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Dorn, Hill, Bauman, Byers, Lytle, Setzer. Next on the agenda is the consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of the general agenda, approval of committee meeting minutes and minutes of the meeting held March 19, 2014. Approve all claims through April 2nd, 2014 in the amount of $402,885.04. Approve and place on file all correspondence received. Approve informal bid from Beatrice Lawn Care for lawn care services. Approve utility permit 986, Great Plains Communications, to plow a fiber optic cable located in the northeast quarter of the southeast quarter of Section 34, Township 4 North, Range 8 East, and in Section 35, Township 4 North, Range 8 East, Philly Township. Approve utility permit 987 to Norse Public Power to bore and encase an electric line located in the southeast quarter of Section 8 and the northeast quarter of Section 17, Township 5 North, Range 6 East, and Holt Township. Approve utility permit 988, Pawnee County Water District number 7, to bore a water line located in the southeast quarter of Section 16 and the northeast quarter of Section 21, Township 3 North, Range 8 East, Sherman Township. Approve utility permit 989 to Roars Machinery to trench a water and electric line located in the northwest quarter, of Section 7, Township 2 North, Range 8 East, Island Grove Township. Approve calling for bids on highway striping project, bids to be opened April 30th, 2014 at 9:15 a.m. Approve receiving and place on file 2013 Gage County EMPG Quarterly Report. This is item 1 through 11, the consent agenda. Need a motion to approve or consider something separately. Yes, Mr. Juergens.
Matt, could I have claim number 1404030 for $100 to Johnny's Welding pulled and voted on separately, please? This was a Sheriff's Department item during the windstorms we've had. The speed cart took a tumble into the ditch, so it was repair work on that.
So, again, item 1 through 11, with the exception of the item Mr. Supervisor Juergens rather just pulled off the agenda.
I would move to approve.
Moved by Myers.
Second.
Second by Setzer. Any discussion? Vote 7-0 to approve. Next, we'll consider claim number 1404030 in the amount of $100 to Juergens, or Johnny's Welding.
Yes, sir.
I'll move to approve.
Moved by Setzer.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion? Anybody against this? Pay Juergens 100. Vote. 6-0, rather. Juergens abstaining. Next is on the regular agenda's comments from the public, request for future agenda items. Anyone has anything they'd like to share? We can also go back separately, and at times during the discussion, during action items, people want to comment. They're more than welcome to do that. Jump right into committee reports. We have a timed event at 9 o'clock, so I'm just going to apologize now if I interrupt you and stop you. So, Building and Grounds, Winter Lights.
Yes, our Building and Grounds Manager, Mr. Jones.
Good morning, everyone. We had a Building and Grounds meeting to just update on work going on that we've been doing lately. I've got a good helper compliments of the Gage County Sheriff's Department that's helping me. We've been putting a lot of plywood down in the attic to create new flooring space for storage, and we're going to give it a good cleaning up there and add a few more lights for just, like I say, better storage. Last week during the windstorm, the maintenance shed roof blew off in the parking lot over at the sheriff's office, hit a power line and took the power out of the stoplight on 6th and Lincoln, and power to the veterans office. We did replace that. There's just 5 sheets of tin that we had to replace that with. And then we're missing some shingles off the veterans roof also, and I'm following up on that to replace some of those. And John Christensen from NERMA did come down and looked at the damage that we had and said that we would be reimbursed for our cost. And I did not check with him. I don't know if we have to meet our deductible first on that or not. So, and that's about it.
And I would like to comment again on the helper that Mr. Jones has had from the Sheriff's Department. And he's been just outstanding. I mean, he gets out there and really works. And I think it's a good recommendation to him to the court on how hard he has worked to help us. And
thank you. He really has. He has. Good to get extra help around here and get things done. And I'm finding out it's hard to keep up with the 30-year-old guy anymore.
So what other tradesmen do you need, Klaus? Yes.
I think we should comment on Dave's award last Thursday, the Goodwill Ambassador Award from the Chamber, for his excellent work that he does here at the courthouse. He treats it as if it were his own.
Thank you very much. Strange but nice surprise. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
Equalization?
Nothing.
Finance and insurance?
Finance and insurance. We, I might let Dawn explain this a little bit about our flex account.
You want me to?
Yeah, you go ahead and explain that.
We've got an item coming up, too.
Or is it on the agenda?
It's on the agenda.
Oh, okay, then we can talk about that later.
Okay.
Sorry, okay.
Sorry.
I just... part of what we, our communications system that we're looking at and the financing of that, we had some more discussion on the financing of that and talked about several different options there, and one of them being since our inheritance is a little bit over $2.9 million right now, should we, or we can, but should we take all of this a little bit over $800,000 cost out of inheritance and not use any out of the budget in the coming years. We also talked about financing maybe half of it. The one bank here in town, I believe, we've got a rate just a little over 1.24 or 1.4, right in that range. Financing $400,000, making monthly payments for 3 years, we'd pay a little bit over $7,700 in interest going that route. If we took... in other words, if we took $400,000 out of inheritance and roughly $400,000 financing, that interest rate is very good. A lot of the discussion was centered on that that amount of interest over 3 years is doable. That is not won't strain the budget, but what that would do, financing that would obligate you the next 3 years. With the budget, and we had quite a discussion on that too. It would obligate you a little bit between $130,000 and $135,000 a year for 3 years financing that, and that's where we've come back to a lot of discussion of should we take this all out of inheritance. Those are, I guess, the options. We Monday we had discussions, I guess, going round and round and back and forth, and what should we do? I know the plan is in 2 weeks to have on the agenda to finalize how we're going to finance this or whatever. So throwing these out there and, I guess, opening up to any more questions or thoughts or comments or...
And as part of the Finance Committee, as one of those who went round and round and up and down and across and north and south, one of my feelings is... we're in better shape than we've ever been in as far as inheritance is concerned. We want to keep that good reserve to be able to use it when we need to. But when I look out of obligating us, we don't know what the economy is going to do in the next 3 years. We obligate ourselves for another $130,000 or so. The interest is, it's not insignificant, but it's not very much. But obligating us for that. If we have the money to pay for, I believe in paying as you go if you've got the ability to do it. And so my personal recommendation will be that we take it out of inheritance, which is almost $3 million, and pay it and have it done.
I guess I will make a comment on inheritance. When we did the budget here, the start of the year or last July 1st, we had $1.4 million in there, and I've made this comment several times. We had a little over $1.4, between $1.4 and $1.5 million in there. This year, I guess, has been an exceptional year for the inheritance in Gage County. Roger knows what's all come in, but we've collected a little bit over $1.5 million this year in inheritance. If we were sitting here at this point last year at $1.4 million, and then we were wanting to take $800,000 out of here, I think I'd have a whole different viewpoint on this, too. Then, no, I couldn't see doing it. We've had the discussion of maybe some thoughts about where the county is going to have expenses or the projects we'd like to do in the future, and we realize that inheritance is going to help fund those. Now, how do you balance it, and how do you prioritize, or where do you use those funds all for? And also, I guess, maybe realizing that in the future yet, in as long as the legislature lets us keep the inheritance, we will continue to fund that account or whatever. How much is an unknown. We don't know that. This year was an exceptional year.
And we're not hoping for a lot of wealthy people to die so we get more inheritance.
No, we're not.
You know, we want Brian Dakey to live a little while longer and Mr. Klaus and those rich folks, you know.
You're right. But we were, historically, we've averaged just a little, between $600,000 and $700,000 a year for the last 6 years. That's historically where we've averaged on that. So, like I said, this year is an exceptional year. It really collected a lot.
Anytime we try to stretch a big ticket item out, we're trying to crystal ball things. We know what the interest rates are now. We've over the last 2.5, 3, maybe 4 years, just like you said, specifically tried to save, and I don't think there's any under any cover of darkness at all that we're trying to save some of those dollars to finish Hickory Road. That's going to be a big item. If we finance now at a little over quarter, 1.25, 1.5, something like that, interest rates in 2 or 3 years could be 3 or 4%. So you could finance a higher amount and end up spending more money down the road. So, you know, again, it's not local property tax when we use inheritance fund. There's a need out there. It is a capital improvement item. I think the committee and a previous emergency manager told us we haven't spent anything in communications, or the vast majority has come out of Homeland Security, $1.3 million. So we haven't seen it here, and we probably haven't done a very good job of funded depreciation and putting some money away for that. We're putting money away for roads, and we're putting money away for infrastructure. But, you know, we dip into it, then there's less to dip into. So we know what the price tag is going to be, somewhere around $800,000 on that. So, you know, if we dip into that, then as we look at using some of those inheritance for Hickory Road, we know that they're going to have to come from some other sources, and the interest rates may not be as good when we decide to do that.
And another very good point you did make there, Matt, is Mark visited with us several times over the last so many years. You know, 13 years ago was when we last upgraded our communications or some of this or this part of the communications. Over the last so many years, a lot of this, a huge amount, has been funded by grants, Homeland Security grants and so on. The county has been very, very fortunate that a lot of those costs haven't been realized by the taxpayers or whatever. And this is a lot bigger ticket item than any of us ever thought, I think, when we started into this. I know even Mark, when he started into it, he had some figures that weren't near this dollar amount or whatever. And I guess once we got over the sticker shock of this, that then we sat down and started really dwelling on how to handle it and how to pay for it and stuff. So
one positive thing about spreading it out over those 3 years, we could still take those three payments out of inheritance fund.
Yes, we
could. So we would not have to use taxpayer dollars. And so we could spread it out. We would have the interest costs, the additional costs there, but it's cheap. If any interest is cheap, any bankers in the audience, but anyway, but we, that is a positive. We can still get it out of inheritance, not get the taxpayer property taxes increased over that 3 year period. So something for you to think about. Anyway, some alternatives that we would have.
Myra, on the flip side of it, you know, we've been talking about Hickory Road for a long time. It's always been my contention, that the funding for that, or a good share of it, would come out of inheritance. I think that the public could look at that and say, that road that came out of inheritance, that's something they can see as the other way. I mean, I am not in favor of taking it all out of inheritance myself. So whatever the full board decides, because I know the cost that we're going to have ahead of us out there, and I'd like to have some more funds available there to help pay for that road, because it's going to be a huge undertaking once we start. And we have started. I mean, there's bridge work being done over there, pole relocation going to be done. And so we have started. I know I've heard a lot of comments from public. Well, when are you going to do Hickory? When are you going to do Hickory? You know, that's one of the constant things that I do hear. And it's going to take time, but we are working toward that goal of finishing that road out. So.
We have a timed event. It's 9:01. Like I say every time, I think this is the most important thing we do every month. And I'll call forward Don Junker, the chairman of the Veteran Service Board, and introduce our veteran honor today. This is Arnold Behrens, but Mr. Don Junker.
We got Arnold F. Behrens here today. He was enlisted into the service on April 17th, 1942. And then he was over in the European Theater in 1944 and came back from there on 20th November 1945. And he was dismissed out of the service on November 25th, 1945. And the medals that he received while he was in the service were the European African Middle Eastern Service Medal, the Good Conduct Medal, the American Service Medal, the World War II Victory Medal. Can we have Arnold come up?
And applaud him for his service.
Second Service Office, we'd like to honor you with this.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you all.
Would you like to say something?
Yeah, I'll say something. I'd be wrong. I don't know.
No, you have the floor. Take your time.
Been about 50 years ago that I stood here and asked the board for more money to asphalt. A little more. One time, especially, the oil jumped from 9 to 32 cents a gallon to make the asphalt. And the good old board that was come up here just like this and begged and cried, and they give me 32 cents a gallon. So I am Arnold Behrens, and I was in the 512 Ordnance Heavy Maintenance during the war. I was inducted, and I was real happy that they put me in ordnance. That's maintaining vehicles, everything, come along. So that, I was real happy I wasn't in the infantry. Oh, that was wonderful. So, I don't know what else I was supposed to say, but I was in there till 1946, about for a few days short of 4 years. I went to Eastern European Theater, we called it. And another kid and I went to, I don't know how much time I should take.
Take your time.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Anyway, a guy by the name of Halt Bus over here in Northwest Town. We tried to get a job someplace in a factory for riveting airplanes. Couldn't get it, so we come up here, and there was a fortune teller lived just right south of the county barn. And so we said, let's go talk to her. And we did, and she said that I was going to European Theater and he was going to go west. He said I wouldn't get hurt, but he would be a little damaged. And when we came back, by golly, that's what happened. I went east, he went west, and he got some shrapnel in his leg. I could run too fast for a bullet to catch me. Anyway, I was happy that I was in the ordinance because we were backing up two or three what the hell do you call them? Anyway, artillery. About three artilleries. And they'd get the thing shot up and with jeeps and so forth and bring it back to us and we'd try to fix them up and shoot them back up there. So I never got hurt. The bullets just whirled up on top of us. And we was always about 10 miles behind the line. Like in Pickwell or something. We'd have a shop there, you know. And so I was very, very lucky. I went to five continents out east, including Germany. I didn't have any problem there. I could talk German, two types of German. And but they sent me, I had 39 men under me, but I had a real good friend, and he took care of the tanks and so forth, and I had to take care of all of it, but we had especially, I wanted to get that picture, but that thing had wheels 12 foot wide in the back. And big old low boy trailer. I don't know how many tires are back there, but we could haul 80 ton with that baby. And so we got within 30 miles of Berlin, and that's when they broke through. The Germans broke through, and so we slept. We was all in. Everybody had a vehicle to drive or something. They wouldn't let us go back till about 5 o'clock one night. And they come around and said, okay, go. There's two highways. Germans are coming down one and you're going down the other one, and whoever is the last to get to that intersection over there is going to be a prisoner. So this big truck tractor had quarter inch iron all the way around. And Patty and I took that because we could. And we thought we'd be safe. The engine was so wide, both of us could sleep on it. And about 6-7 o'clock in the morning, we was back in Brussels, Belgium. And power, the drive shaft for the oil and the water belting broke. And smoked all over. Didn't catch fire. So we jumped out, and we went over across the street to that guy, and he let us in the house. And what amazed me so, after visiting for a little while, he said, "Come around, easy." It means come here. And he had a door in that basement. It just looked like that. You couldn't tell there was a door there. And about that time, a dive bomber knocked out all the lights he had in the house. And so we come back in, and that's when he invited us down the basement. So we're lucky. I've seen a lot of country. And never got shot at. I never shot back. But so, I don't know. Any questions you want to ask?
We just passed around a picture of you, Arnie, back then. You haven't changed a bit. Look exactly the same as you did.
Now, I lost my ears, so yeah. Pretty loud. What did you say again, please?
You look exactly the same as you did 60 years ago.
Yeah.
We appreciate everything you did.
Huh?
I just showed him the picture. So he said, you look just the same as you did then.
Pardon?
He said, you look just the same today as you did back then.
I'd like just to as handsome.
Also that Arnie just turned 99 on February 15th.
13th.
13th?
Yep.
I don't know. Date of birth, 12th.
Yeah.
That's what it says on here.
Anyway, kind of halfway enjoyed it because they never got shot at. Somebody shoot over the top of us to get the artillery. And we were back here trying to fix them. So I didn't have any narrow escapes, I guess, except one time I went out alone to fix, loosen the brakes on a semi-trailer. When they go overseas, the fog and the rust get those brakes so they don't want to work. So I was beating on that sucker and I, pow, all at once, and the dust just blew away from here. And there was a bush there. I didn't even know that gun was in there. But it's so big, it just sucked all the dirt right with it. So I was in there just about 4 years. Happy to be back. When we left France, on the very southeast corner, I don't know, should I tell this? I don't think that's it. Anyway,
okay.
They said your ship is behind time, so we'll be here for 2 or 3 days. Does somebody want to be circumcised? Now's the time. We got time. Okay. About 4 or 5 of them went. The next morning when they come up for breakfast, oh, <This way. laughs> oh boy, I wanted to, but I waited till I got to Beatrice.
You could have come out of that.
So we built 152 miles of blacktop for Gage County. Yep. And sometimes, anybody remember Peterson, the engineer for Gage County? He was kind of a stinker, you know. October 17th, he sent me a letter and said, cease all operations. We had 17 men in that group. And so in the state regulations have, if you can continue 40 degrees and rising. So I wrote all that up, sent it around to you guys, and old Peterson says, you sure bad-mouthed me. Well, I said, you got 17 men, 17th of October, that's a long life. We usually go till Thanksgiving, you know. So, I could have brought you a sword and a few things, but I didn't think that much. At least he wouldn't want me. Old Joe. Well, I better quit.
Well, thank you very much for coming and letting us honor you today.
Very, very good being here. Gates County has been wonderful to Urban and I, my brother, in construction work, you know, building roads and so forth. So anyway, that oil, no kidding, jumped from 9 cents a gallon to 32 overnight practically.
It's a little worse than that nowadays. Arnie, on behalf of the county, I would like to thank you very much, this token of our appreciation. One other side note, I've known Arnie for a long, long time, and he was the man that probably started our paving in Gage County, the asphalt.
He did it for years and years and years. Probably started in the 60s, Arnie, is that correct, when you started asphalting?
Yeah, about 55, 58, something
okay,
like that.
Okay, earlier than I thought. But anyway, was probably the one man, his company, that did most of our asphalt miles in Gage County for many, many years, so did a good job. So thank you very much.
Oh, Peterson that time thought he was running everything, so he's the one who told me stop. We did Christ Lutheran Church, and he said, you got the contract for 3 inches of asphalt on here, but he said, Abel's are setting out here at Catania, and they'll do it for 2. That same money for 2. I said, well, if they can do it, we'll do it too.
Yeah.
And so I went up that hill north about half a mile, had my pliers long. We had that much asphalt. You, at an inch and a half, you can't get it perfect. There it ain't thick enough.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he said, you sure bald mouth me.
Okay, Arnie, thank you very much.
Nice seeing you.
Thank you for your service.
Got beer in her?
Yeah.
No one's asked if the military covered those surgeries.
Okay. Never expected that when we started these, did you?
You were expecting that.
Any more for finance?
Nope. I did have, I'll just make one quick comment. I did have Don give me the extension agreement, so hopefully I'll be able to get a hold of somebody there and see who we can visit with and just go over that again and stuff, since it's been quite a few years since we've gone over the extension agreement. So she got me a copy of that, and we'll look at that and next time at finance.
We have an agreement.
Oh, I thought they were talking about an extension of an agreement.
Oh, no, extension office. Sorry, extension office.
Extension of the extension office.
Some rolling agreement? Okay.
It is a rolling agreement. It's good for 1 year unless somebody... Sorry, I didn't explain it enough. So we'll get a hold of somebody there and see. Okay, look into that on finance
extension
committee.
Office, you bet. Okay. Human resources.
Well, last week we finally got the handbook approved and... Already hearing of a couple little tweaks that we may have to make, but those will be forthcoming. And we are getting some applications in for our emergency management, and we are reviewing those, and it looks very good.
Law enforcement, emergency management?
Yeah. Emergency management... Main thing that we had to discuss there was the communications, which obviously we'll discuss here shortly. On the law enforcement side, Gus, being he'd been out doing other things for the last couple of meetings, he had a pretty good laundry list for us. Just going to cover a few of the bigger items here. One of the big items that we had left on our fire inspection that we need to get taken care of, the jail fire doors are installed and waiting on some closure devices to finish that up, and then Gus is going to have the fire marshal back down to take a peek at that, and I think we're getting there on that anyway. I don't know that we ever completely get there, but it's just one more item off of the bucket list there. We also discussed at length the law enforcement training center physical standards and some of the different things that we're having to go through in order to get new people hired on as deputies. We're running short at this point, and we're just having to go through 16 weeks and try and get guys trained up and hopefully get them passed and get them on the road. But it's becoming increasingly hard for the Sheriff's Department to to find good people and to get them out on the road. It just seems like we continue to put more and more requirements on top of these people, and it's just a hard business to get people into anymore.
Where are people going that are leaving that have to be replaced? Why are they leaving?
Doug?
That's a good question. I guess there's probably a couple reasons. I don't have no good stories to tell, like Arnie. I'm sure that there's a variety of reasons. I know some of them that we've had have been, pay has been one of them. It's affected with the contract. You know, there's been some issues, you know, that obviously people agree or disagree with, you know, and so that's been part of it. And after a period of time, I think, you know, that it used to be the average career length, you know, was anywhere from 7 to 10 years for law enforcement. I think some people get to that point to where they simply need to change a venue or, you know, some different scenery or some different things like that. So you run through that, and we kind of went through a list yesterday when we were going through some of our older evidence, and, you know, there's been quite a few people that we went, you know, in the last probably 10 or 15 years, maybe 20 years, you know, where we've, you know, there's 20-some different deputies that we've had there over that period, you know, and I think it just kind of cycles through, and it's not for everybody, so I think that's probably a lot of it.
I think out of last five or six, I can recall a couple that completely went out of law enforcement.
The last guy that had resigned here maybe a month or so ago. I mean, he's going into a career field for nursing homes and wants to be an administrator for that. And we've known that for years. I mean, that's what he's trying to get his master's degree in and stuff. And that's just the direction he was headed.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, you know, good help is hard to come by in any occupation you're at nowadays. It's hard to find good help. So, I mean, it isn't just the sheriff's office. A county job, you know, anymore is probably one that's looked at, I want to work for the county, compared not like it used to be. So, I mean, there's benefits here also. So, right now we've got a motor patrol operator we're looking for. Haven't had a lot of applications, so if there's anybody who went out there, I was going to apply, but Galen said he wouldn't hire me. So, so I mean, it's hard any place to find good help anymore.
Private that's just the way industry, it is. You know, there's a lot of different benefits that they can provide that, you know, we're not able to as a county government, you know, when it comes to different incentives and things along those lines that they certainly have an advantage over. And you see a lot of law enforcement, they go into a private security or consulting business and things of those nature. So, I mean, there's those different things out there that.
Do we do exit interviews with our deputies?
Yes.
Okay. Probably not a bad idea sometimes the law enforcement committee to share some of those or at least look at them to see.
Yeah.
Maybe. And why I ask that is what can we do to improve our offers to the deputies to be able to encourage them to stay?
Right. The last guy that had resigned here, you know, stuff, and we had a frank discussion, you know, and stuff, and just some different things, you know, that we talked about that could be different ideas and things, and, you know, that you'll always have some conflicts of some sort between management and road patrol people. But for the most part, I think, you know, that if you can find out what it is that the concerns are, and when we have our meetings, you know, monthly with our sergeants, and, you know, we encourage them to have the deputies bring the issues to them that we can discuss so that they don't become, you know, issues that are reason enough to leave. So,
Chief Lang's not here today, but I wonder if they have the same kind of turnover at the PD. Do you know,
yeah.
Mr. Dickey, do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we had one guy that actually went down to the PD to go work down there and stuff, and, you know, so.
I mean, I've seen that bounce back.
The grass is always greener, you know. Mm-hmm.
Everybody that goes to work for a day, he stays forever.
Well, why wouldn't you?
Well, yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
You just as well stay there, Doug.
I'm going to grab some papers.
Okay. Next item, Gus reminded us again about the cell door motors. Each one of them cell doors that's over in the jail has a motor that opens and closes it at about cost of around $1,000 to replace. And the ones that we have are getting to the point where they're older and possibly end of life, no more reproduction in them units and parts and that stuff. So Gus reminded us again there's another expense we could be looking at over in the jail. hoping to make it last for another couple years, but when that comes along, we're looking at another $20,000 or $30,000 to replace those. And then the final thing I wanted to kind of bring up here was the determination by the sheriff to put on hold the e-cigarette program in the sheriff's over there in the jail. So at this point, until more news comes out or more study is done, the e-cigarettes will not be available over in the jail.
I do have a thing I'll share. Nicotine Z-liquids, a serious health threat from experts. I just thought I'd throw that out at this point.
Doug, did I leave anything out important that we need to cover today?
With the motors, the only thing that I would bring out, and, you know, Carrie might have the most knowledge on something along these lines of the mechanical nature, but the motors that he's talking about, they run the cell door, they run on a rack system, which is rack and pinion, and there's a switch box at every cell unit with a manual switch that you can either open or close, and so, you know, twice a day those get activated every time, and so that runs that rack and pinion back and forth on there, and the wiring goes from there back to the switch box, you know, back to the main breaker, but they see a lot of use, and as those rollers go back and forth, you know, we've replaced a lot of motors over time, and the wiring has to be retrofitted to the motor. They have to be rewired to work with that system. So the compatibility is becoming more of the problem than anything. And I would guess that probably the next thing that you would see is an issue with the rack and pinion in there. And we can activate those manually, but it is quite a task to do that in a timely fashion if you need to. So that is probably the biggest part of that system that is the most antiquated. But
thanks.
Road and Bridge.
Matt, kind of a small meeting we had two times in a row. Basically, discussed advertising for the striping. It's going to be a 4-inch stripe. I guess there's different widths you can use, but the 4-inch stripe is standard in Gage County. We're going to come on this resolution about roads closing. We're coming on that. We'll discuss that later. Philly Bridge, start date tentatively April, early May. So we had some discussion about maybe prior to that a couple weeks, you know, maybe doing some kind of signage on there so the people in the community be aware of it so they could make alternative routes or change their route, you know. Hopefully it gets done a little quicker than the Wymore Bridge. So we'll push on a little harder on that, getting that done, I would hope. Hickory Road, little update on that. Mark Minnelli has submitted a plan to Norris for the lines west of the Blue River Bridge, and their plans are 90% complete on the east side, and will be forwarded to Norris when they're done. Adams Bridge, still need one landlord signature. Bid letting on that Adams Northwest Bridge, hopefully this summer. As I spoke of before, the county is looking for a motor grader operator. His last day was Friday. This is on the Beatrice East route. So if anybody out there wants to drive a patrol, now's the time. This particular individual, the reason he was left, he was a employee that was a good employee at the county. He went to agronomy. Gary hired him, so that's where he's at.
Cherry picking.
Nothing to other than that, that's about it. We'll have a discussion on a couple of these items coming up, so I won't go into that.
Anything else? Questions for Terry, Galen, Deborah?
I'd just like to give a quick report on Engage. If we did, I believe, hopefully everybody knows, paper did an article on it. We did hire Glennis McClure as the new executive director of Engage. It was quite a lengthy process, an interview process, a lot longer than what we'd originally thought. We had the applications, narrowed it down to four. after the first round of interviews, did a second round of interviews, narrowed it down to we interviewed three the second round, and after that one, we did narrow it down to two, but we did have a third round of interviews, which we weren't planning on originally because we couldn't come to consensus on the two, and that took us another 10 days longer than what we'd originally hoped or thought or planned. Glennis is really excited about the job. I think she plans on starting April 21st in that position. She has a few other things at her other job yet to finish and stuff. I would really like to thank some of the people and some of the time they put into this, especially Andrea Schaefer, Bob Morgan, and Grant Jones. They were on the interview committee, and they were at all of the interviews as far as I know. And there were several of the other board members that attended a lot of them. The last round of interviews we did with the two, we had the whole board there. And that was part of the reason why we did one more round, so that everybody could interact with them. And we had a series of questions that were the same for both of them and see how they handled those and stuff. So, but I would really like to thank some of the individuals there for the amount of time they put in for this, because this, like I said, it took a little longer than what we thought, but it was a very good process, and this time we did some things different than the other time, and we gave them actually a mock project that they had to write a report up on and give a presentation and actually what they would submit to that company and stuff. So very interesting. So,
all right. Next is I need a motion to approve or disapprove a resolution directing the county highway superintendent to conduct a road study on closing the east half mile of Olive Lane, Section 17, Township 2 North, Range 6 East in Sicily Township. We need a motion to approve a resolution to do the study.
I make a motion to approve.
Resolution 1408.
Resolution 1408.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, seconded by Hill. Discussion. Vote 7-0 to approve doing this study. And Galen, how long does that take to get that back? 6 weeks or what's 2 weeks? Okay. The next is a discussion, and let's talk first about the statewide radio system, which there'll be an action item up for that. Would be the radio system notice of intent to participate. So we'll start off with just a discussion about that. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. Questions at all for Doug is there. This is we're signing the notice, the intent to proceed, and then the idea would be to come back in 2 weeks with a dollar amount. Still need to shake out exactly, where that'll come from, but I'm guessing the amount not to exceed a certain dollar amount.
That would be our recommendation, I guess, based on Monday we had met for some committee stuff and informed the committee members that were present that on Friday of last week that I had met with Doug Ostergaard from D&D First Wireless, and I just gave a sample copy, a one sheet page of some of the radio specifics and items that we would have to figure out. I guess this would be our next step that we really have to do before we can move forward with too much of that. We tried to pre-plan as much as we could up to a point to where we just need to probably kind of stop for a little bit here until we get a direction that we need to proceed. If that is done today, then over the next 2 weeks, Doug and I will meet again, and then hopefully by the next committee meeting in 2 weeks from last Monday, then we will come back and have things spec'd out per car that we have, I guess, for a quantity total of this many of this type of radio for this car based upon the way that it is set up for our patrol needs, maybe one versus our investigators unit versus a patrol truck versus a patrol car versus our special operations group ambulance type vehicle that we have, so that the control head option is something that we need to specify by vehicle. We had looked at some different options that have come up recently that integrate a siren control unit, some different things like that. we need to have a little bit more of a serious discussion on that, I guess, over the next 2 weeks here and find out if that's a viable option for us or if it'd be better to stay with the current system that we have in our cars and just use the standard radio and not incorporate that, because I think that was a $600 option. We had some discussion on, what it costs to replace a siren control unit versus the head and an individual box that would go in the trunk where you just plug and play, basically, if you have to replace a unit. So there could potentially be some cost savings over a period of years for that, but it would increase the initial cost if we had 20 mobile units and at $600 a radio, there'd be another $12,000 on top of that. So, but we would make a recommendation based on that when we have over the next 2 weeks here, when we have a direction on where we would go today, so we would know that. So,
any questions for Kathy?
Refresh us again on why we cannot just put our equipment up on the new water towers at Cortland and Claytonia.
It's not that we can't, I think, from what I understand in the conversations that I've had with Mark and, Mike Jeffries and Doug from First Wireless, it's not that we can't do that. It's more involved. It's a bigger process than what we've talked about. Just from simply moving from one location to another, whether it's a block down the street, requires licensing and everything with that addressing of the different water tower site versus the old one versus the new one to do that. And then it's an agreement that we have to have in place. And somebody can surely that knows more about it than me, correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I understand about the water towers and putting radio equipment on a water tower, they have found that is not the best option to put antennas on a big, huge chunk of metal with water in it that acts as a grounding, putting the antenna on top versus putting it down lower on the tower. That isn't always the best option, is what I understand.
But it's something we've done for years.
That is my understanding, yes.
And it's worked.
To some degree it has, yes. I think there's better...
How hasn't it worked?
What? I'm sorry?
How hasn't it worked? You say to some degree it has.
How hasn't it worked?
Yeah.
I think what they have found, and Brian can probably chime in here a little bit, Brian Dakey, when they installed some of the antennas and stuff on the Beatrice Water Tower, they did some research or some studies on that and found that it wasn't... is getting as good a signal in or out as it could have if it might have been located off of the tower or in a different place on the tower, is my understanding.
So. Maybe we could have him come talk. Yeah.
I'm being Doug.
Doug Ostergaard with First Wireless. I think to maybe answer the question as well is we can physically pick up the equipment and move it to a water tower. Real quick, I guess what Doug's trying to convey as far as putting antennas on the water tower, where you really run into problems there is physical space, because with radio frequencies, we need a certain amount of spacing between antennas. You put one antenna on a water tower, that works fine. But if you need a couple, you've got to space them properly. You've only got so much space on top of the water tower. Then you start going out on the railings, and now it's shielded from one direction or another. But I think the real answer to why it's a bad idea to just pick it up and move it to the new water tower is because the system doesn't work well already. It's not working well on the old water tower. You move it over to the new water tower. All you do is incur the cost of making that move, and you haven't improved the performance of your radio system. And that's, I think, really the heart of the matter is the system just doesn't perform well today because of the design, which we've talked about in the past, being done on a shoestring budget 13 years ago. It just wouldn't be the way I would do it today if I was going to go and recreate that same system. So I guess if that answers it.
Yeah, I guess my thoughts on it hasn't changed. I guess I never had enough information to determine this was the path we wanted to go down to, or to my satisfaction. So,
no.
I'd like to make an announcement. The board was so good to us 50 years ago, and after a meeting, we'd buy their lunch. That's the only appreciation we could show, because it, you know, it was supposed to take $1,000 in the back. Anyway, I would like to buy lunch for anybody that maybe go to St. Mary's. I don't know how many of you want to go, but you're welcome. St. Mary's. I haven't talked to her, but they got tables there. And that good-looking heifer over there can probably take a nose count.
All right.
So I can call her.
All right.
All right.
We'll do that, Arnie.
Okay.
He brought you cookies. Isn't that enough?
Take a nose count, will you?
I will do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. I'm not good-looking or a heifer.
John, I'm sorry. I was watching Arnie come up, and I didn't hear your comments.
Oh, that's all right. I guess I wasn't comfortable before, you know, as to having enough information, and I don't know when I'd have enough information. So.
Well, again, you know, we've tried to bring resources here. You've got to call them if there's something you're not comfortable with. I mean, that's why we put this off, you know, for quite some time. We've been months into this, and I would encourage if there's something you're not comfortable with, use the resources that are out there. I'm not trying to be confrontational. I don't know what more information we can give than relying on the experts that are there. I admit a level of anxiety myself because of the price tag.
Yep.
If we were arm wrestling over $50,000, though it's a big dollar amount, I don't think we would be wrestling that hard.
Right.
I think there's a need there. It's a price tag that's attached to it that causes me quite a bit of anxiety. But, you know, I admit I'm not a communication specialist, never, you know, pretended to be, but it's a lot of stuff, and
yeah,
you know, I admit I'm relying on the experts to point us in the right direction.
And I have talked to a lot of people in regards to this, and I kind of get mixed feelings as to what direction we should be headed.
And you know, we've talked about this before. We can do nothing and accept the gaps that are there. Now, I'm not going to do that. I'm not advocating that. I don't think that's a good idea, but it is an option. We can do nothing and accept the gaps.
And I don't think that's the best option either, to do nothing.
Well, I hear this morning, though, I'm not sure whether it's included in our estimates or not. You talked about the equipment that goes into the trunk of the patrol cars or into all the pickups we have now. For what reason, I'm not sure. But anyway, where does all the equipment go in the back of a pickup? And is that included in this $800,000, what we're requiring?
Yes is the short answer. Today is just the intent to participate portion, and then we come back.
Right, and I understand that. I'm asking questions. My decision on intent to participate is based on $800,000 worth of expense, and is what you projected today that we had needs for included in that $800,000?
Yes, pretty close. I mean, we would have...
Pretty close.
Right, we would have the final...
Pretty close isn't good for me.
I understand that. We have no way of knowing exactly, though, until we can sit down and go vehicle by vehicle, and the $820,000 amount. We have the unknowns, of course, with the Blue Springs Tower. When they want to do the remediation and the inspection down there, that amount could fluctuate as the unknown in there for... I think Mr. Jeffries estimated that when he was here, somewhere in the $30,000 to $50,000 neighborhood for the inspection and site remediation. He is hoping it will be closer to the $20,000 or $30,000 than the $50,000, so that amount with the $820,000, hopefully we would not spend all of that amount, is what I guess I'm saying. And the amounts by radio could vary, you know, in the, you know, couple hundred dollars or a few hundred dollars individually. But we have to be able to spec out if we have 20 mobiles. Some might be, you know, this amount, and some might be a little bit different based on the configuration of the vehicle.
If I could maybe chime in just a little on that, I guess. Doug and I sat down and we talked, and we went through various different options in configuring the radios. And I guess the first example would be the type of control head that goes on the radio. That's what you see in the vehicle. It changes the channels and does all, you know, everything you can change in the radio. Well, with that, there was the undercover car, and that was one that we thought, well, there's a type of control, they call it a handheld control head, and it really looks like the microphone. You can stick it under the seat and hide it, and you make all the controls then right from the handheld instead of the control head. And it varies by a couple hundred dollars. I think I've given him numbers on that now. I don't remember what they are from head. per radio. And you take that times 20, it starts to, you know, I guess if we're looking for an exact dollar amount, we haven't hammered out those minor details. Then we got into the one that, very nice control head, and Doug's eyes kind of lit up because it has a very nice siren and lights control built right into it. And I didn't think about them possibly wanting that. And so I think that's where that'd be the biggest swing if they decided they wanted to replace their siren and lights controls at the same time, incorporate it all into one, clean up the vehicle, installation. And I think that's really, when you start talking about a larger price swing, that would be the only thing that might influence that. With that, then, yeah, there's a box that goes in the trunk along with the radio that controls that interfaces to the sirens and lights. So I don't know if that...
But you would have the spec'd out next meeting in 2 weeks.
Well, I think when we come back in 2 weeks, there will be a final hard dollar amount. But it just as conversations grow, you start tweaking things a little bit this way, a little bit that way. And I don't, you know, I think the biggest thing there was to go to that control head and those controls was going to be a $600 car difference.
And I would encourage those price sheet, the itemized list, to come to emergency management, law enforcement, and then as well at the finance committee too.
Well, and there's a substantial difference in what we would do in Blue Springs also, $30,000 to $50,000. This is, you know, we're talking about paying interest of $6,000 or $7,000 over 3 years, and here we talk $20,000 difference on one item. And we talk about a couple $100 on each item. And we're talking about significant dollars. So we'll get the bids, we'll know exactly what it's going to cost us in 2 weeks.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Well, let me preface that. On the radio equipment, yes. On the site, that is beyond my control, and I can't make any promises there, but I assume that is the goal.
That's great.
I haven't decided yet. So,
and I guess I'm going to throw this out there, Mr. Hill, anybody else that has questions. I know this isn't a great forum to really dive into the technical details and discuss that, and people's eyes glass over, and, you know, I'd be more than happy to do that one-on-one. I'm going to be around today. I'm actually meeting with Chief Dakey and Lieutenant Oliver after this meeting, but I can come back. I can maybe squeeze it in before if you want to sit down and talk about kind of the technical details and explain more why some of these technical details that we have talked about with the current system, why they don't work well. I gave Doug a video that, I guess, on the handhelds. I don't want to elaborate on that or not, Doug, but the radios that we're talking about where they were shooting weapons on a firing range and talking on the radio, and the radio worked. You could hear everything crystal clear. And it's that kind of engineering that's going into these radios that really drive the cost up and some of the features and stuff. But I'll leave it at that, and I guess if you got any questions for me now or later, more than happy to sit and discuss them with you. So, thank you.
Okay, more discussion. Well, Roger, you've seen the...
Matt, one other thing I did want to add. Doug, one of the things that I've asked question that I would like to have in 2 weeks, when Mike was here last time, I asked him about if we have more users that come on 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road, are we going to get the same, you know, or say the city decides they're going to come on, are we going to get the same break for them that we're going to get for that user fee? I would like to have that answer.
I think we probably can't give a definite answer, because what that amounts to is the user fee. They have an algorithm they use, and he said, you know, it's a pretty simple formula. They have a base user rate that they establish for all the users on the system across the state. The user rate is a fixed amount. So now he has the latitude, if you will. If we contribute something to the system with, for example, the the remediation and upgrades to the tower and coming onto the system for the Blue Springs Tower, that would benefit the statewide system. So he would take that dollar amount and then subtract the difference between the user rates versus what we contributed, you know, and take that over a 15-year period to establish that. And the projection is with the dollar amounts and everything that we contribute, of course, that our hope is in the initial numbers that our user or monthly subscriber fee for being on the statewide system would potentially be zero. Now, if the police department or the fire department, or we just call it the city in general, would decide, you know, after a period of time to come on board with the statewide system, and they make a contribution of some sort that would benefit the statewide system, then they would have a individual contract, I guess, with the statewide radio system, and then they would have a user rate to be determined based on their contribution. And that's something that would have to be between the statewide radio system and the police department or the city based on that.
Right. But, I mean, we have other users in the county also. That's why we need to know how it's going to be handled when that comes up.
Other users meaning?
We never know. It might be the highway department.
Okay.
You know, we don't know.
I got what you're saying. Sure.
So we need to know up front, this is how it's going to be handled when that time comes.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
And I think it's only fair for the city to have a good idea. I mean, you know, we scratch their back a little bit here. You know, we scratch your back type thing. You know, we take care of them. They take care of us. Be good to know that up front, too, for the city.
And we like taking care of them.
Well, one of the things that they talked about potentially in the future is upgrading the whole console to a full-blown digital console. And, you know, certainly with that dollar amount, I'm hoping that we could convince them to have the same user rate that we do. And
right.
So, I'll have that conversation. He's back in the office today. He was out of the office for the last couple of days. So, Mr. Jeffries, I'll have a conversation with him today as well.
It'd be valuable for us to know that.
Yep.
Thanks.
Okay, I'll call for a motion to approve or disapprove statewide radio system notice of intent to participate and have the chairman sign. You have a motion to approve or disapprove?
So moved.
Moved by Lytle. Seconded by Setzer. Discussion, and I'm going to Rogers review this agreement.
And again, basically, it's just your indication that there are basically two roads you're looking at here. Through your consultants, Mr. Meitz and Mr. Kloss, and that was the simulcast radio system and then the statewide radio system. By this vote, you're indicating you're going to go with statewide, but you're still looking at it. And specifically in your contract, as you see, it's non-binding. So at some point down the road, you could say, whoa, time out. We're going to pull back, take another look at this thing. So that's the biggest deal.
Got a motion and a second. Any further questions or discussion? Vote. 6 in favor, 1 against. Hill is against. All right. Next is approve or disapprove an addendum to the Emergency Dispatch Services interlocal agreement with the City of Beatrice and Gage County for additional 911 address location services with Geocom, Inc. in the amount of $1,200.
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. What this is a with Geocom, the city has the agreement. And with 911 addressing, what's that?
Don't vote yet.
Okay. with the addressing, what we want to do is to put that underneath Nancy Niedfeld, who is the planning and zoning administrator, so that when she goes out and she gets the GPS coordinates, she can give that to Geocom, and Geocom will come back with the physical address. And so Nancy's going to work on that process. The reason why we have to add this is it's a four-year agreement that the city actually owns, but the one portion of the maintenance agreement that we don't have is the addressing. And everything else but this. So this will be the addition that will allow that addressing to take place, and this will be countywide. So when they go out, get the physical address, They drop in the GPS coordinates and say, here's the address. So that's what this will be. And this is a four-year agreement, and this is only for 1 year because the agreement that the city has is done in May of 2015.
Yes, it's to make sure it's two boxes.
Matt, in just so everybody knows how it works, Nancy will have a camera. She'll go to the site, stand in the driveway, click the camera. That will give the coordinates, and that'll be sent in, and it'll tell you the exact signage, what it has to be right off that, the way I understand it. It right off the camera there, they can tell exactly what the addressing is going to be then. So
the thought process is you can either train one person extensively how to use one piece of software, and then when they leave, that institutional knowledge leaves with them, or you can create a system that you can plug people into, and GEOCOM has a system, the city uses it. This would allow the city to do their addressing. If the opportunity is out there for other municipalities, they could use this for their addressing too. This upgrade covers the entire county. Mm-hmm. Have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
An upgrade.
Get any resolution number?
No, it's an addendum.
It's just an addendum to the agreement. Saying we're going to pay for this. And the city is going to have to amend their agreement.
Right.
Roger's spoken with Tobias from the city.
Yep, and they're in favor because basically they're also going to benefit from this overlay. I think it just further fine-tunes your 911 address locator. And I think in the past we've kind of gotten real close. This one will be precise.
And this is the address that the clerk uses, that the assessor uses, that the emergency services use. This is the address. This is your home address.
Yep.
So this is very important that these are correct and done in a timely manner, too, because I know that Joe's had a few requests and Nancy's had a few requests. So it takes basically one cog out, or takes one cook out of the kitchen, and that'll be more of a streamlined system. So, all right, vote 7-0 to approve. Next, approve or disapprove plan amendment to the Gage County Flexible Spending Account to reflect changes as amended by IRS for allowance of a carryover of $500 in individual FSA accounts.
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Hill. And the other Hill gets to explain this.
Good. You each have a copy here, and what it is, where we currently participate in the flexible spending program for people who want to have dollars taken out of their check for medical expenses or child care. The law has changed where now, before it was use it or lose it by a deadline with an allowance of, I think there was a 3-month grace period. That has changed now where they are allowing employees to keep $500 in your account to roll over to the next year. But there is no longer a grace period. So anything over that $500 will become a use it or lose it. So if you contribute, you want to make sure you get your monies out of it. So and right now there's an option to go back retro, and that's what the IRS has allowed us to go back retro to the 2013 plan, which we're still in because our plan starts July 1. And so at the end of this June, if you have $500, you can roll it over. Or we can start with just the 2014, but I think you probably want to do this year that we're currently in, if you choose to use that. Basically what it is.
Yeah, it's a good change. It'll allow people to have more flexibility, and we'll make it easier to use a Flux account.
People just need to remember that there is no grace period at the end.
That's one of the things that's frustrated me with these flexible accounts all along is that you're paying your own money into them, and then it's use it or lose it. I mean, this is a good change.
Yep.
Okay, motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, vote 7-0 to approve. Next, approve or disapprove to amend the mileage reimbursement policy for Gage County. A motion to approve or disapprove.
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion.
Well, I'll make a little comment on this. Part of what started this discussion was the old policy we had in effect was if you went to a meeting or something somewhere and you did not use a county vehicle or did not find out if it was used and you couldn't use it or whatever, we weren't going to pay you mileage. And we weren't doing that. So this is partly in response to that. How do we correct that, or how do we get a policy so that it's one we can follow and one that's workable for all the employee, or all the county people or whatever? Because the other one, we weren't following the county policy.
And that resolution or that policy was set by a board of which there's no member here. So it was a policy they decided to operate on years ago, and until it was brought to our attention, we just didn't know that it was out there. So,
In this one, they're encouraged to use the county-owned vehicle. Again, they have to contact Don's office to request that. Part of the discussion as we were going through this, we said, well, maybe we have a county van that maybe we should sell it or get rid of it. We're not using it. We found out since then that we are using this quite often. This vehicle is getting a lot of use, and it's getting a lot of requests for use and everything. So that's pretty much, I guess, we condensed it just a little bit so that you don't get penalized now. In other words, if you don't use it, you didn't try to use it. We want people to try and use this vehicle. But if they didn't use this vehicle, the old policy stated you will not get paid mileage, and we've been paying mileage. So,
what would happen if we'd use one of the sheriff's vehicles? Use a pickup truck to go out and look at roads and
get there fast.
What
should
have you?
Yeah.
Pick a new one.
Don't think there's an answer to that.
No, just use a transport van.
Yeah, if we get a big enough transport van with a cage, then we could use it. We could have all the board members could fit in it. Yeah,
I'm sure they'd love to put us in that.
There's probably been a thought about that.
We just had to make sure we wouldn't let nobody know what route we're taking, though. So,
all right, more discussion. We have a motion and a second to change. I guess it's the words amend, but the mileage policy. Vote 7-0. Okay.
Anything else? Let's see. Next, we've been operating with our new, or different rather, committee process. And the last time that we will do that, according to what our plan was, will be the 14th, and we'll discuss on the 16th of April, whether or not you want to continue that or go back to the old way. So we'll just put that on the agenda for a discussion and an action item to continue or to go back. Pretty simple. So last time will be on the 14th. And let's see, we've got a birthday.
That's right. John, tomorrow.
John Hill's birthday is tomorrow. 25?
Right.
So happy birthday.
Thank you.
You told me not to say anything, but all directions very well.
That's right. That's also right.
So happy birthday.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, the Board of Supervisors will stand adjourned 10:02.